If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
We would be better served. My personal opinion is that we would be better served with a defensive Hawaii radar and interceptors in Hawaii. I know that that's being discussed. I don't want to get ahead of those discussions, but I think we ought to study it for sure and then make that decision as a department what the best way forward is. But Kim Jong-un is clearly in a position to threaten Hawaii today, in my opinion.
That was Admiral Harry Harris, the chief of U.S. Pacific Command, yesterday giving testimony on Capitol Hill, suggesting that even as things stand today, Korea could strike Hawaii, and he's recommending some moves there, putting some additional radar and interceptor units in Hawaii, something that has not happened until now. Joining us on the line is Bruce Klingner with the Heritage Foundation, an expert on the peninsula of Korea. And these are very tense times, Bruce, when you hear the admiral in charge of defending our interest in the Pacific talk about how Hawaii is currently under threat. It certainly talks about how tense things have become.
Well, that's certainly true. We've got a lot of moving parts going on in Northeast Asia, I think even more so than normal, and perhaps spinning at a higher rate. We have North Korea continuing to improve its nuclear and missile capabilities. We're not sure where they are on the path of development of an intermediate range and a missile and an ICBM, but certainly they're on that path.
Yeah, look, I mean, we have seen this cyclically, that North Korea will start to act badly, and they get some attention, and then they get thrown some bone, and they behave for a while. But my sense of it, and tell me if you think I'm wrong about this, is that we are now facing a very different kind of situation with North Korea than we've seen in the past.
Well, I think along with what you described of, you know, in sort of in the past on the negotiations where they get bought off, or at least for a pause in their programs, what we've really been seeing since the 1960s is this long, decades-long quest to have a nuclear arsenal and the missile means to deliver them. Right now, the best assessments are that they already have 16 to 20 nuclear weapons, that they already have the missile means to deliver them to South Korea and Tokyo, which puts our two critical allies in Northeast Asia under a nuclear threat today. They're continuing to work on what's called a Musudan intermediate range missile. They had a successful test last year, which showed that it could put Guam under a threat. And then they're continuing on actually several different variants of an ICBM.
Now, let me ask you, as far as Hawaii goes, do we have the capability to just shoot these, you know, and Alaska, too, I guess they can also hit Alaska, just shoot all of these missiles out of the air if they can actually get them off the ground? And I don't know how many they can possibly get off the ground at one time.
Right. Well, we have ground-based interceptors based in Alaska and California, about 30, and that's going up to 44. Certainly, they can defend the continental U.S. If you look at documents from the Missile Defense Agency, it says they can range out to Hawaii. That might be at the extreme end of their capability, and I think that's why Admiral Harris is advocating that we may need to put either a THAAD system or something called an Aegis Ashore system in Hawaii to sort of augment the confidence that we can defend that part of the United States.
So are they more likely to be able to hit the continental United States versus Hawaii?
Well, we know they're working on that system. They have a sort of a fixed missile or ICBM that's under development that would be launched from a fixed silo. They've launched that several times. The South Korean Navy dredged up the first couple stages of it from the bottom of the ocean floor and first estimated that it had a 10,000-kilometer range, which would put about 40% of the continental U.S. under threat, about down to Missouri or so. And then after another test last year that was successful, we think they now have perhaps a range for 13,000 kilometers, which is all the way down to, to Miami.
Wow.
That is.
So you got the USS Carl Vinson coming into the region. The USS Michigan, a nuclear missile sub, is already in South Korea. The THAAD missile system is going to be deployed in South Korea, apparently. We just tested our Minuteman missile system, a ballistic missile system, just to make sure everything is working in that regard. 100 senators go to the White House for a briefing on North Korea by the Secretary of State, the Secretary of Defense, and the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. When you see all of these items put together, what does it tell you?
Well, it tells me there are sort of two stories. The first is my discussions with Trump administration officials indicate that the policy will be increased pressure, will no longer pull our punches on enforcing U.S. law, imposing sanctions and targeted financial measures, leaving the door open for diplomacy, but North Korea has closed the door several times. But then sort of the parallel story that one gets from the public statements, really the ominous, in my view, over-the-top public statements by senior officials, the fact that you have this unprecedented briefing to senators, the reference that the Syrian attack was a message to North Korea, the deployment of the Carl Vinson, et cetera, makes one think, oh, my God, we're on the cusp of the U.S. doing a preventative attack on North Korea. And yet, when I talk to administration officials, I don't get that sense of imminent attack. So I think the messaging from the administration is out of sync with what the actual policy will be.
Is it out of sync on purpose, though, in order to get that message to North Korea?
Well, I think there's an intent to play to what Mr. Trump says. You know, he likes being unpredictable. He likes having people concerned. But that can be overplayed. If you don't carry through on it, then you look like a paper tiger that you've cried wolf one too many times, and that you've also, by raising concerns that the U.S. may do a unilateral military attack and perhaps risk triggering an all-out war on the peninsula, you've made our allies very nervous.
All right, so how do you see this? Is China ultimately the solution here?
Well, China certainly has been part of the problem rather than part of the solution. They've really acted like North Korea's lawyer in the UN Security Council. They've turned a blind eye to North Korean proliferation occurring on Chinese soil. They haven't implemented required sanctions. So the U.S. does need to pressure China. And actually, there's a number of things we can do using existing laws, imposing what's called secondary sanctions on Chinese entities that are in violation of U.S. law. And the Obama administration basically refused to do that over and over. Last year, they sanctioned a handful of Chinese entities, and that was only really because they were pressured or required to do so by the U.S. Congress. So administration officials say that they're willing to do that or they will do that. But that now seems to be on hold after the summit with the Chinese president in Florida a few weeks ago. It seems the U.S. is put enforcing our laws on hold pending Chinese promises that they're going to do something this time.
All right, we got to leave it right there. Bruce Klingner with the Heritage Foundation, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, well, thank you for having me.